Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Right now, our coach, Doug Matthews. No, I take that back. Wow. Our coach, whoa, Dave McGinnis.
We just saw Doug Matthews.
Doug is right out here. Let me go.
I just saw Doug. You and Doug on Coach to Coach. You can hear that 11 a.m. every Saturday morning. We're in the green room just a few minutes ago. Me, Paul, Chad, Dave McGinnis, Doug Matthews, Rhett Bryan, Brad Willis, and David Reed walks out of the Titans radio studio and says, excuse me, let me go get some more dudes to pack this room.
Oh, that was, you know what?
He couldn't find any.
You know, they were all in that room.
They were either on the air in here or in there.
For all of our listeners, as good as this show, as good as you guys bang hats on this show right here, in that room.
we need a podcast of that, don't we?
That's another level. That's so much fun.
Coach Mack is with us, and he joins us every Friday as he's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Preseason's over. We've turned the page. We're on to week one. What is it like today compared to camp? What's it like today at the facility?
Well, it's a lot different. First of all, I mean, this is this next 48 hours are very concentrated. John Robinson, I know, has this completely organized. This is a very time sensitive time right here, because now, and especially once the cuts, everybody's making their one cut today. You've got 1,100 people out there. Now, they have spent the whole preseason, and even some before the preseason, they've got these guys categorized. They've had them all watched. They've watched the back end of all of these rosters to see. John Robinson and his people, have a good idea. But these next 48 hours, with the paperwork this is going to entail involving Vin Marino, everybody has a specific job once they make the decisions on who they're keeping and who they are releasing, and also start to get from the league who the other guys released are. It's a pretty concentrated 48 hours. It's not hectic. It's just fast and furious what's going on.
You mentioned 1,100 players across the league there that the vast majority are going to hit the market. How many are surprises on a given year, players that are cut today?
Well, I mean, to me, there's very few surprises anymore, just because of the nature of everybody you can watch so much video. Everything is, and plus it's so well reported on. I mean, it's so well reported on. I mean, this league is covered as deeply as any league, in the country. And so there's very few surprises. I think most of the surprises come early on when you've got veterans that are released, before camp start because of salaries and these types of things. These types of releases now that we're talking about, you are looking for guys that you either had an eye on during the draft, you had an eye on during free agency signing that you didn't get. You have tracked them to see how they've done at the other places they've gone to. This is what is important right now.
Say, I think there are probably only a handful of teams that fit this. Say you're a team that liked Luke Falk in the draft. Say you're a team that is healthy and has room for a number three quarterback right now, and you prefer him to the guy that you've got. The Titans cut him with the intention of putting him on the practice squad. What are the odds there's a team out there that's healthy enough, that's interested in him enough, and that's keeping a third quarterback?
Well, I think most
teams slim to me.
You know what? Yeah, and I think, Paul, for this reason, I think most teams are pretty well set at their quarterback numbers right now. I mean, we've seen some recent trades made for quarterbacks in the backup role. I think most teams are probably set in quarterbacks in that nature. And most of the time, if you're keeping a third quarterback, that quarterback has been with you because that quarterback knows your system.
And that's probably the most important thing in that role.
That's absolutely right, Paul.
Does hiding players exist today in the league?
No, it does not. I mean, used to, before it was covered so well and before you had just the mass media and visual coverage that you have. I mean, I know you guys have been on the NFL game sites where you can watch all the games. You can see all the – you can't – the staffs are too big right now. you know, any of your personnel staffs, they're so big right now. Everybody gets watched. Everybody gets watched, Jonathan.
And Blake Benningfield said something interesting about this because it's so expansive. Friend of the show who writes for my site, the former Titans scout, he said the thing that gives up people like that is the media. Like, if you read the local papers, you hear that Drew Bennett's doing very well at practice. That's where it's coming from.
Okay, but what,
so you're monitoring that stuff, and you know from local media the guy who's shining at practice, who maybe isn't playing that much during the games, who you might be trying to see.
Do we think that any coaches, though, are paying attention to
coaches aren't paying attention, but the staff is part of what they're charged with is to know who those guys are.
No, what Paul's saying is true. And again, your personnel staffs are so much larger now than they used to be because you've got one person on your personnel staff designated to positions around the league. They'll have certain teams. They'll divide it by teams. Then they'll divide it by positions. And so everything is covered. It's covered in a big set. It's covered in subsets. And what Paul's saying is also true. Those people that are in charge of doing it, it's not the coaches. It's the personnel department. And those personnel departments have a vast number of resources.
I watched the fourth preseason game, and it's not just last night with the Titans and Vikings. It's across the league. I don't know exactly what I'm watching because Dalen Dawkins, for instance, is he playing because he's going to be cut, or is he playing because he can earn a roster spot over Akram Wadley, and that's why Wadley wasn't getting as many touches last night? I don't know. Are they playing Luke Falk because he can work his way onto the roster and they're not worried about the rest of the league seeing him in the final audition, or are they playing him because they don't want anyone else hurt at the quarterback position? I don't know the answer to that. But I can go position by position to all of it.
Yeah,
was David King playing last night because he can work his way on or not?
Here's my question about David King. So he's a veteran guy. They traded for him, gave away, you know, a seventh last year, but didn't produce in the preseason until last night. And last night, David King, who's, you know, been an established NFL player, is playing against guys who are not going to be in the league. His sack, you'd call him untouched, except he touched the shoulder of both of the guys that he went through untouched to get the sack. So does what he did last night really mean anything if he's doing it against JV guys, freshman guys?
What he has done during the course of training camp means more than that just one play, yeah. Paul. What he's done during the course of training camp, what he's done during the course of practices, walkthroughs, meetings, all of that stuff takes into great account. Now, the fact that he did get into a football game and made a play, that never hurts you. But there's a body of work, you know, on David King from this personnel staff and coaching staff rather than just one play in one night.
Three players.
If he's on it, he's a placeholder to me because there's not a sixth defensive lineman on this team, but they can find one that's better than he's been.
Three players come to mind that were playing last night that I know were truly battling. Robert Spillane, who has been battling all camp and is just an amazing training camp story. Julius Wormsley, who saved a first down on a tackle from behind, and then Durden came through and knocked a pass away that set up a partially blocked punt two plays later. Those plays matter. So, Coach, I know that the preseason games matter for certain players, and I think those three in particular come to mind that are just squarely on the roster bubble right now.
No, that's a great observation. And those were the three that, you know, that I looked at that jumped out because those guys have also done it throughout the preseason. You know, every time they've gotten a chance, they've done something. And plus, I mean, we've all been at practice. We've, you know, all been at practice a lot. You know, and you know, I've been there every day, and you guys have been there most every day watching these guys. These guys are also doing it in practice, and the reason they're getting chances to do it in the games is because they were doing it in practice. And then, you know, some of them got chances because of injury. But anytime you get a chance and you move up, but those three that you just mentioned, Jonathan, are absolutely, and I thought they absolutely all three stood out last night. The play that Wormsley made, that was a classic retrace play.
That's great.
That's very easy. Let's go through this scenario in our heads. You're playing the fourth preseason game. You've been playing every snap. You know, you're a big man. You know he's tired. And all of a sudden, he goes and they throw a screen that jumps out in front of him. Now, it'd be very easy just to turn and watch, okay? Turn and watch it, you know, because somebody else, he turned and he saved the play. So that was impressive to me. And then Durden and Spillane, every time they've had a chance to do something, they've done it.
I think Wormsley's on. I mean, he's been consistent, and he's He's fifth to me at a six-man spot.
But it's just another check mark for him.
Right. Durden, I think, is up against Hurst. Hurst is more versatile and usually more versatile wins, but I think Durden's got way more upside. He's a long corner, which are hard to find, and Hurst is a retread. How much better has he gotten? I think the upside of Durden might outdo the versatility of Hurst. Spillane's a great story there's no room for.
You agree with that, Mac?
Well, the Spillane, here's the thing I know about Spillane. And small again, as he says, there are certain guys sometimes that come in, and we've had them here. I mean, we've all seen them in the years. You know, even when I was coaching here, it happens every year. Somebody that comes in and just kind of captures the locker room, because you know those vets are rooting for him too. You know, if he's not going to be on the 53, he's probably got a pretty good chance to be here as a practice.
Oh, I would think definitely.
What a story. I mean, he's a tryout player as an undrafted.
I don't know if you guys saw it. It's a little further over from the box, but right in front of my section of the press box, his family had like homemade shirts with Spillane across the back. Four of them looked like a mom and dad and two younger kids.
Coach Mack, from a game plan, a set standpoint of how you want to present things and how you can overanalyze everything in the NFL, will coaches go back and watch Frank Gore and Danny Amendola from previous offenses for certain things that you may want to present to a defensive back? Or do you just solely focus on what Miami did last season on offense?
They've already
with the new pieces.
They've already, and that's a really good question, and it's legitimate. And the answer is yes, to a certain extent, because you always want to watch the people you are going to play against. And especially two players like that, that have been in the league as long as they have certain quirks and tendencies too. You know, and so you will go back and study that. Some of that's already been done. Now it's, you take all of that information and you figure out which pieces you want to give to your players. Because at the same time, I mean, you said it very well, Jonathan, there's a lot of information out there that you can get, that you can pull off of. I mean, I can sit and watch tape for hours and hours and hours and get all kind of information. It's what you put as pertinent bullet points to your players so that those things are available to them, but also you never, ever, ever want to slow them down with too much.
Now, let's look at it from Matt Burke's standpoint.
Good.
Where do you start? Because you don't really know what you're going to see, do you?
He's already watched every Rams game. He watched every Rams game. He's had his defensive quality control guy break down every Rams game. He's broken down every snap that these starters have played here. And the other thing that he has done is he has gone and looked at down and distance personnel groups and field position calls that McVay made. Okay. He's subsetted it down to that, because that is what he's looking at, because clearly he knows Matt LaFleur, you know, came up under that system. They are running the same system. I mean, I can just about tell you what his cutups look like by down and distance, by personnel group, by field position. And so he will have done that. Now, does he know exactly what's going to happen? No, none of us do, but that's what he's gone back and looked at. I promise you, those things are already broken down and are already being viewed.
I love the concept of when you're grinding the tape, having to mesh the two. You're looking at Titans personnel from a year ago that's back. You know, you're studying Rashard Matthews, Delanie Walker, Corey Davis, but then you're also watching the new offensive coordinator system and sort of piecing it together as to what to expect from that personnel with the new system. How do you marry the two? Not just looking at LaFleur's system, but also studying personnel of the Titans and seeing how that'll be utilized, or at least guessing how they'll be utilized in this offense.
Yeah, and the first thing you want to do is you want to be sure that you've got your base defensive concepts down so well that you can always default to that if something comes up that you've never seen. Any defense I've ever been on, we've always had a default call if there was something that we hadn't seen, we hadn't prepared for, that would allow us to get ready for the next, you know, for the next thing. Now, what he is going to do, once he gets that narrowed down, brings those two elements together, then you don't want to guess, but here's what you want to do. You want to be able to give to your players, and you do it by day. You do it by first and second down. You do it by third down. You do it by short yardage and goal line. You do it by red zone. You want to give them the general philosophy that you know this opponent is coming in here with, and then you just start matching your calls to that general philosophy. Once the game starts, and especially a first game against a new coordinator or a new coaching staff, once the game starts, that's when it tests your ability as a coaching staff on the sideline to be able to adjust on the run.
If Jack Conklin is not removed from PUP by 3 p.m. tomorrow, he's on the physically unable to perform list for the first 6 weeks of the season. If that's the case, what does that tell you about their depth behind Dennis Kelly, specifically Kevin Pamphile?
Well, I mean, they're going to either going to have to use Kevin Pamphile, or they're going to find somebody else that
on the waiver wire.
Sure.
And it's an interesting decision, Paul, because maybe Conklin can return in October, you know, by week 4 or 5. Maybe you feel like he's not going to be ready. If he's not ready, you keep him on PUP. I'm interested in the game within the game, because what you don't want to happen is to have Conklin on your roster, want to keep him inactive for a couple of weeks, and then have more injured players than you have inactives, and have to keep an injured player active on game day, essentially wasting an active spot on the 46-man roster.
I'm just hitting the button now on a story I've been working on this morning saying all indications are he's going to be on the 53. So we'll see him sometime before London. Mm-hmm. London would have been the first game he could have played if he was put on PUP. I don't think it's totally done, but all indications are they're expecting him to be part of the 53 tomorrow after they announce who's gone.
Okay. Mac, from a defensive standpoint, Rashawn Evans, we haven't seen him through the preseason. Last night you told me all you would want to see as a coach is that he's healthy. He would be active and he would have a role for this team on game day.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the number one thing. Is he healthy? Because now he hasn't had any experience in this defense, but we know he can play football. Okay. And so if he is healthy, and I'm saying that if he is healthy, then you can give him some specific things to do in the ball game. But the caveat being, if he is healthy, that's what I would want to see.
Coach Dave McGinnis, he joins us in studio every Friday, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, and every Friday we will be previewing the upcoming matchup. You better believe we're going straight to the film with Coach Mack next Friday for Titans and Dolphins.
And this Friday, special occasion for you to extend your stay with Coach McGinnis. He's not saying goodbye to you now.
That's
and not
right.
Seeing you until next time you're at practice together, next time you have a Titans radio meeting.
We are on the call tonight for Friday Night Rivals on MyTV30, Mount Juliet and Lebanon. Josh Corey is out of town tonight, and Coach Mack is nice enough to join me on the TV broadcast. This is going to be a blast.
No, I can't wait, and I'm so honored that you asked. I can't wait. I might drive to Mount Juliet right now. I mean, I might get in my truck and drive right
now.
God's
got open room.
It's a happening place, Coach. There's like plenty to do out of Mount Juliet.
Just drop his name, free food and drink.
Well,
I'm dropping it right now. Anybody listening to Mount Juliet, Coach Mack, I know Chad Withrow right now.